follow nature, and you will need no skilled craftsmen. Nature did not wish us to be harassed, for whatever she forced upon us, she equipped us. But cold cannot be endured by the naked body. What then? Are there not the skins of wild beasts and other animals, which can protect us well enough and more than enough from the cold? Do not many tribes cover their bodies with the bark of trees? Are not the feathers of birds sewn together to serve for clothing? Even at the present day, does not a large portion of the Scythian tribe garb itself in the skins of foxes and mice, soft to the touch and impervious to the winds? For all that, men must have some thicker protection than the skin, in order to keep off the heat of the sun in summer. What then? Has not antiquity produced many retreats which, hollowed out either by the damage wrought by time or by any other occurrence you will, have opened into caverns? What then? Did not the very first comers take twigs and weave them by hand into wicker mats, smear them with common mud, and then with stubble, and other wild grasses construct a roof, and thus pass their winter secure, the rains carried off by means of the sloping gables? What then? Do not the peoples on the edge of the Syrtis dwell in dugout houses? And indeed, all the tribes who, because of the too fierce blaze of the sun, possess no protection sufficient to keep off the heat except the parched soil itself. Nature was not so hostile to man that, when she gave all the other animals an easy role in life, she made it impossible for him alone to live without all these artifices. None of these was imposed upon us by her. None of them had to be painfully sought out that our lives might be prolonged. All things were ready for us at our birth. It is we that have made everything difficult for ourselves through our disdain for what is easy. Houses, shelter, creature comforts, food, and all that has now become the source of vast trouble were ready to hand, free to all, and obtainable for trifling pains. For the limit everywhere corresponded to the need. It is we that have made all those things valuable, we that have made them admired, we that have caused them to be sought for by extensive and manifold devices. Nature suffices for what she demands. Luxury has turned her back upon nature. Each day she expands herself. In all the ages she has been gathering strength, and by her wit, promoting the vices. At first, luxury began to lust for what nature regarded as superfluous, then for that which was contrary to nature. And finally, she made the soul a bondsman to the body, and bade it be an utter slave to the body's lusts. All these crafts by which the city is patrolled, or, shall I say, kept in uproar, are but engaged in the body's business. Time was when all things were offered to the body as to a slave, but now they are made ready for it as for a master. Accordingly, hence have come the workshops of the weavers and the carpenters. Hence the savory smells of the professional cooks. Hence the wantonness of those who teach wanton postures, and wanton and affected singing. For that moderation which nature prescribes, which limits our desires by resources restricted to our needs, has abandoned the field. It has now come to this, that to want only What is enough is a sign both of boorishness and of utter destitution. It is hard to believe, my dear Lucilius, how easily the charm of eloquence wins even great men away from the truth. Take, for example, Posidonius, who, in my estimation, is of the number of those who have contributed most to philosophy, when he wishes to describe the art of weaving. He tells how, first, some threads are twisted and some drawn out from the soft, loose mass of wool. Next, how the upright warp keeps the threads stretched by means of hanging weights. Then, how the inserted thread of the woof, which softens the hard texture of the web, which holds it fast on either side, is forced by the batten to make a compact union with the warp. He maintains that even the weaver's art was discovered by wise men, forgetting that the more complicated art which he describes was invented in later days, the art wherein the web is bound to frame. Asunder now, the reed doth part the warp. Between the threads is shot the woof by pointed shuttles borne. The broad combs, well-notched teeth, then drive it home. Suppose he had had the opportunity of seeing the weaving of our own day, which produces the clothing that will conceal nothing. The clothing which affords, well, I will not say no protection to the body, but none even to modesty. Posidonius then passes on to the farmer. With no less eloquence, he describes the ground which is broken up and crossed again by the plough, so that the earth, thus loosened, may allow freer play to the roots. Then the seed is sown, and the weeds plucked out by hand, lest any chance growth or wild plant spring up and spoil the crop. This trade also, he declares, is the creation of the wise, just as if cultivators of the soil were not even at the present day discovering countless new methods of increasing the soil's fertility. Furthermore, not confining his attention to these arts, he even degrades the wise man by sending him to the mill. For he tells us how the sage